Very challenging word this morning. It's a very much a word that we need to look at our hearts this morning and see where we're at. But it's an uplifting word as well. And I've been very challenged this past while in my own life. And I just want to share with you a few things. I love the way Jesus taught. I love the way Jesus went about his business. And he just walked, as he walked and he talked, he found himself in a field. He would just use the illustration of a field and a farmer. He was in the fishing. He would use the illustration of fishing boats and fishers and men. And this morning, I really feel as though I'm a farmer. Really, so I'm a farmer. I feel as though God's given me a word. And I'm going to sow the seeds. That's my job this morning. It's to sow the seeds out of your lives. Sow the seeds. The Bible says about the word of God being life. I'm going to throw life this morning. Words of truth. Words of life. How are you this morning? How's your heart? How's your heart this morning before the presence of God? Is your heart bitter? Is it hard? Is it fertile? Are you just loving the presence of God? Are you loving the worship? Is your mind just so far away? Where are you this morning? Is the word of God is sown? Is the word of God is thrown out of your lives? Where are you? And this is the essence of the word I want to share this morning. The scene was, in time, it was 1050 BC. And the children of Israel, the Israelites, looked and saw every other nation in the world. And it says, we want to be like them. We want to have a ruler. We want to have a king. We want to have someone we can see. And God says, no, I want to be your God. I want to be your king. And he says, no. You shall be there, but we want someone. We want a man to become in charge of us. And God says, do you know what you're asking? You're asking for this guy to put you into slavery and bondage. You're going to have to be his subjects. I want to do that to you. This guy's going to conscribe you in your army and your children will die as you go to war with different nations. Aye, but we want a king. So God says, okay. And he says to his prophet Samuel, he says, go and anoint the man I have chosen. And Saul was a man that was head and shoulders above everyone else, a very handsome man. And he says, he will be the king. So Saul became king. And at last, the children of Israel had a king. Not just God, but they had a king. Someone there in flesh that they can go to. But Saul was a very impatient man. Everyone's got weaknesses, and his weakness was he was so impatient. And he wouldn't wait for God. And what does the Bible say? Them that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And this is the weakness of Saul in his life, is he couldn't wait. Everyone had to be a now. Everything had to be done now. And that's it, signed off and moved on. And he couldn't wait. And there was times in his life that his history moved on, that he couldn't wait, and he kept on falling into sin because of this. God had enough one day and says, that's it. No longer will you be king. You cannot wait. I'm going to choose a new king. And he looked, and he found a little shepherd boy called David. And David was anointed king in secret. Just a young kid. And Saul went to battle against Goliath. And I know the story about David and Goliath, how David took a sling and he threw it because everyone else was scared. And he threw it and knocked Goliath unconscious in the ground. Then took this sword, this massive sword, and chopped off the enemy's head. And then the songs went out for the women. Oh, how Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. And this got an anger up within Saul and a jealousy up within Saul that he's going to kill David. And David escapes for his life. And he finds himself in this cave. In this cave, he's just at the end of himself. Here's a man that's anointed to be king, and he finds himself in the complete opposite, in a cave, running for his life. And it's in this cave that my story starts. See, in this cave, he was joined by his relatives, and them that were discontent, them that were fleeing for their lives, them that were just in real deep trouble, about 400 of them. And David had three nephews. Now, we're not told exactly that this happened in this cave, but David's family was under threat. And one of David's nephews is called Joab. And this is what I want to speak about this morning. Joab, I've really been challenged by his life. And he's not a superhero of the Bible. He was just a guy that rode in the crest of David's wave. And my title this morning is Riding the Crest of Another Man's Wave. And you can see how David had a battle. David would not kill Saul because David believed that Saul, and David knew that Saul was still God's anointed. And he couldn't touch him. He couldn't kill him. Doesn't matter how much time Saul wanted to kill him, how much times he could have killed Saul. But he says, no, I cannot touch the Lord's anointed. But Joab was a nobody at the start. But he rose through the ranks of David's army. And one day, as David became king, as time passed, and through other scrapes for years and years and years, age 30, David became king. And Joab was there right beside David. And they were out of the city walls. And David says to his commanders, the man that takes this city will become the chief of all the army of Israel. And you know who did it? Joab. He became the army in chief of all the army in Israel. And David made him chief and commander. And Joab had been throughout David's life. Joab had seen how David had scraped, how David called out to God. And see the Psalms that's written in the Bible? Most of these Psalms is written because David was fleeing for his life and his enemies was coming to attack him. And God got him through. God had pulled him through. And Joab had been through all that. But now David was becoming king. Joab was now in place. The chief. Huh? And he was riding in the crest of David's popularity. He was doing mighty exploits and taking on the Philistines and taking on the Amorites and everything. And he was going for it. And he saw David. And David fell in love with another woman and caused her man to be killed so that she could become his woman, Bathsheba. And it was Joab that got her man killed. He was loyal to his king. He knew it was wrong, but he was loyal to the king. He was riding on the crest. If ever David said, it was for him. And time passed. And David made a few mistakes. And David went to take a census of the army. And who was the guy that says, no, David, you can't do that because you're going to be sinning against God. But yet David still did it. That was Joab. You see, Joab knew the ways of God. He knew the right things to do. He knew what was the right way to go ahead. He knew how to act in a procession. He knew how David's heart was towards God. He was riding on the crest of another man's experience of God. Time went on. And Absalom, David's son, wanted to become king and dispose of his father. But Joab stayed with David. Absalom was killed. Joab killed Absalom. And David went into mourning. And it was Joab that says, look, if you do not do something here this minute, this army is going to turn against you. It was Joab who put David right at that time. And time went on, and David was just a very old man. And he was lying in his deathbed. And Adonijah, his other son, wanted to become king. And Joab sided with him. First time that Joab had betrayed David. And he sided with him. And David made Solomon king, his other son. And Joab died clinging to an altar. Clinging to an altar. He died missing out the most important experience of his life. And the challenge for us this morning is this. How's your relationship with God today? Where are you with God this morning? You see, Joab knew it all. If he was here, he'd be coming to church, he'd be resting his hands, he'd be lifting his hands, he'd be doing everything, he'd be getting nothing right with the pastor, he'd be doing this mighty exploits, he'd be doing all this fancy stuff. But yet he didn't have a relationship with God. And the Bible teaches us this. It says, many will come in the last days. And it says, Lord, Lord, didn't we do amazing things with you? We cast out demons, we did this, we did the next thing. Lord, it's all these amazing things we did. And the Lord will say, depart from me. I didn't ken you. I don't know you. Who are you? How is your relationship with me? And how sad it was for Joab. I need a drink. How sad it was for Joab. Being with David, one of the men that God called friend. They ken how David was with his relationship with God. How he ken how it was to repent, that David repented before God and to pour his heart out before him. He'd seen it all through the high times, through the low times. He knew all the moves. Yet, he didn't have that special relationship with God that God so much wants. And how sad it was for him to fall and to die clinging to an altar instead of clinging to God. It's a very sad message, very real message. This morning, how are you and God getting on? Do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? How's it been this week with you and the Lord? Has he been with you? Have you allowed him to enter into your workplace? Have you allowed him to enter into everything you do? Has he been with you? Have you adventured together? Do you know how it is to adventure with God through the good times? To how to stick to God through the bad times? How to not just go on with impulses like Joab did and just go for the guts and glory all the time? But to know if it is to hate just God in you, to grasp onto him, to cling to him, to open up his word before you and let his word become light to your path. As you're struggling through life and you open up the word and all of a sudden this word becomes a path before you. How he leads you, how he guides you, how he tells you not to go there, how he tells you how not to do these things. How is your relationship with God this morning? You see, you are so important to God. I was in the Bethel worship in Glasgow a few weeks ago. And this woman just says, look, God had a dream. God had a plan. And he made you for this time, for this place, and for this plan. This is your moment, guys. This is your moment. This is your time. This is your destiny. This is your place. This is time for you to rise with the presence of God in your life. Not just to lift your hands and worship. Not just to get on through the rituals of breaking bread every Sunday morning. But to get your relationship right before God. As in all songs, fit as it say, I just keep falling in love with him over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what love I have between my Lord and I. I just keep falling in love with him. Do you cannot this morning? Do you understand if it is to fall in love with him over again? How is your relationship with him? You see, God made you. And God created you. God just doesn't have a big jelly baby making machine in heaven And he just plops them out one and one and one and one and one. Throws them in a bag and says, that's a jelly baby's earth. No, Bible says God took things. He took abilities. He took giftings. He took talents. He took things that made you you. Again, you're unique, you're a special, that you're an individual, that you've got a unique combination. That God hasn't put in anybody else. Because he wants you to be you. Because this is, as I said, this is your time. This is your place. And you might have been through things. You might have mucked up in life up until this place and time. You might have got things wrong. I get things wrong. But even so, this is the most amazing thing about God. Even though we've mucked up in life, even though we get things wrong, God can still use him for his good. God can still use your troubles and through your situations for his glory and for his good. God has got a plan for every single one of us. We just go to work. We go to the mission field. Your work is where God has called you to be. You are to be a light. You're to be a vessel. You'll be a channel of blessing to forever you come in contact with. God is there. Oh, guys, if you could just open your eyes to see as he sees. If you could just open your ears to hear as he hears. I was somewhere last, the week before. And I was communicating with this person. I just says, look, and I knew it was God. If you start speaking to somebody, this isn't a normal conversation. But God, you're here. Middle of a shop. And this woman starts crying. I says, and bitch was so against church. I says, look, I says, I'm not going to mention the word church. But let me tell you something. God's put a unique gift in within you. The unique talents within you. And you might have been through some stuff. You might have been through some stuff, and she'd tell me some stuff, and she started crying in the middle of a shop. She said, I've been through some stuff. And she says, but I want church. And I says, I'm not giving you church. I'm saying that God has got a purpose. God has got a plan. God's got a destiny. God's got a calling. God's got something so much more than what you've ever experienced in your life. I says, Lord, if I've got a devious situation, this woman's bawling and crying in the middle of a church, in a shop. I says, Lord, you need to send me somebody. Ashley came along. Ashley's never been in this shop ever. And Ashley just drove up. I says, Ashley, I just need to introduce you to this woman. This woman, God's got a purpose and a plan for you. And we've got to meet with this woman. This woman's got to get saved. Why? Because I choose not to see we just the materialistic side of things. I choose to say, Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, let my words be your words. Lord, let me see the walls come down. Lord, I'm hungry to see people set free. How about you? What are you praying for as you rise in the morning? What are you looking for as you rise in the morning? This church is amazing. It's growing. The river of God is flowing through this place. It seems that every single week people are being added to the church. It's exciting. Let's not just come to church to ride in the crest on another man's wave. But let's rise to really understand that, hey, God has caused me to make a wave. God's got a wave just for me. I'm just going to ride in the crest of the excitement or the people being added to church coming along and church is growing and things are getting exciting. We've got a new stage 1 week. We've got a new pulpit the next week. If it's going to be next, it's going to be exciting. Huh? New kitchen maybe. Huh? Praise God. But it's not enough, folks. What it is it's your relationship with God every single day. Where are you? What sweet nothings is he sweet as he's put in your ear this morning? What we've experienced this morning in our praise and worship was great. But do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says as you come to church, you need to bring something. Can I? We just now waking up on Sunday morning and say, let's go to church. But you know what the Bible teaches? It says, as you come, you bring a word. You bring a song. You bring something. You bring a prophecy. You bring something to build someone up. And that's when church becomes church. And you're bringing something to the table. And you're bringing something to the service. You're bringing not just attendance, but you're bringing your relationship. You're bringing your experiences. You're bringing something to the house of God. And that's when church really becomes church, I believe. It's when people start bringing, and you kind of get the word in, because I've got to share something this morning. As I was speaking to this woman, and boom, boom, boom. God's done something in my life this week. And I kind of just sitting in a seat, but Lord, I want to rise and praise you. I want to rise and worship you. Lord, I want to rise and give my thanks to the doctor, give him a clean bill of health. This is church, folks. When the people of God realize that it's not just coming to attend into church like Joab did. It's not just coming to attend someone else's experience and listen to a preaching or a word in the morning. But you're coming, you're bringing something. You're bringing a testimony. You're bringing hope. And God has placed a dream within you. God's placed words within you. God's placed a vision within you. God's placed a prophetic word within you. Let's not rob God. Let's not rob each other and think it's just a one man in a stage or one band in a stage. But you're bringing something. Huh? Out your relationship that week. Huh? If I was to ask you, as you read the Bible this week, what came up about you? What popped up at you? Not everything in life is for sharing, you cannot. We're not just coming and just share all these sort of things, but there's a time. And this is the difficulty at Soulhood. There's a time. And there's lots of words I've had in my heart. This Job word has been in my heart for about a year now. But I knew that today was the time to share it. Why? Because there's someone in here that this is your time. This is your place to get right before God. And you might need to get saved here this morning. You might have just been coming to church and just been an attendee. Your relationship with God might have come cold this morning, become cold. And you need to put it right. And that's why this word is before the table. Because the Bible says, let a man examine himself. You see, it's not for me to examine you. I can't tell how your relationship is with him this morning. I can't tell if you know him. I can't tell by if you put your hands up. I can't tell why if you sing his songs. It's impossible for someone else to know if you're truly saved. But you know. You know. And come back to this. Lord, Lord, I love you. Come and be part of my life. Come and inspire me. Come and motivate me. Help me, Lord, because I'm desperate for you. Maybe you've mucked up, like David mucked up with Bathsheba. He wrote one of the most beautiful psalms. It's my favorite psalm in the Bible. If I could find it, maybe I can't find it. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, do not let your presence pass from me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. But restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and put your spirit, a right spirit within me. How's your joy this morning? We should be the happiest people on earth. We've got a relationship with the King of Kings. We've got a God that loves us so much. He died for you. He died for you. He died that his life might become an example for you. You see, it's springtime. And daffodils are starting to rise. Daffodils are starting to blossom. And this daffodil represents every single life in here. My life. And this is one of my favorite illustrations. I've used it lots of times. See the petals of the daffodil? One of them can become... That daffodil represents me. Paul Ritchie. Paul Ritchie, the dad. Paul Ritchie, the sport worker. Paul Ritchie, the giner. Paul Ritchie, this. Paul Ritchie, that. But is that me? It's part of me. But what is that? It's attractive. And this flower is attractive. But the most important part of the flower is the inside. See this bit's in here? This pollen. That's what attracts the bees. This is what regenerates the growth. This is what fertilizes and pollinates other flowers in the garden. It's the bit inside. The petals are just a show of the flowers display. And you can say porridgey, this, porridgey, that, porridge, next thing. These are just petals. But there's something within every single one of us. As I spoke with a woman last week, she started crying. She says, there's something different. There's something different about what you are saying that I've never experienced before. She says, I need to meet with you. I need to talk with you and your wife because I'm hungry. I want to care if it is about you. It's different. Care if it was? It's the pollen. It's God. God was drawing her. God was drawing her. I wasn't just saying porridge, that porridge, next thing. I was saying, look, God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. God's got you, and you've got giftings, and you've got abilities, and you go so far in life, but when you get with God, God will take you to a hell new other level. Eh? Guys, this morning, how's your relationship with God? As we examine ourselves before the bread, as we examine ourselves before the wine, let's get our hearts right. Let's get our relationship right. Let's not just come every Sunday from the formalities of just drinking some juice and taking some bread. The Bible is very, very strict on that. It says that when we do it and we take it flippantly and we've got something against somebody, we're drinking a curse on our life. We're eating a curse upon our lives. Judgment of God. And that's why some people have got sick, the Bible says. That's why some people have got sickness and some people have even died because they've drinking this and they've eaten this without even trying to grasp what it really is. Jesus was reclining at a table with his disciples, chilling out after a meal. And he says, I've been waiting for this moment. For so long, I've been waiting for this moment to share this with you. I just want to do this with you so eagerly. So let's not be flippant this morning. Let's understand the heart of the Father that God desires for us. That God was looking forward to this day. God was looking forward to this moment. And he says, look, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is why I'm here, because I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to take away your shame. I'm going to take away your hurts. I'm going to take away your fears. I'm going to take away your bitterness. I die that you may be free. And this is my body, which is going to be broken for you. And this is my blood, as I'm on the cross, and they got to put a spear on my side, my blood's got to flow. This is for you. My life is an example that you might live. Did Joab live? No. He only lived a certain level, on the adrenaline rush. But see, a life that's totally committed to God, it's at a hell different level. A life in the Spirit. A life who walks and talks and knows his God. So let's take communion this morning. Let's just say the worship band up. And let's just join us next wee while in worship. That's why I would do it, because let's just take time this morning. It's only 11:30. Let's just take our time. Let's just enjoy the presence. Sometimes we just need to let the worship wash over us. I use this illustration out of time. I just love the idea. I just lie and doing the beach with the sun shining through, and the worship is the waves. And the waves of worship is just crashing over me. As I listen to the songs, as I listen to the words, as I meditate on these things, let the words wash over you. Let the words cleanse you. Get yourself right before God. Let's not just come automatically and just grab the wine, grab the bread, and that's us for another Sunday. But let's understand the meaning of what we're doing. Oh, that you might have life, the Bible says, and life to the full. Let's get ourselves right this morning. Let's get ourselves back on track. If you need to get saved this morning, come and see me. Let's get saved before you take a bread. If you want to get things right this morning, hey, put yourselves right before you and God. If you've been a Christian a long time, you know. You just need to come out front and get me to pray for you. It's you becoming for God saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, fill me with your presence once again and get myself right for you. Lord, I just pray a hunger might rise within me. Lord, for your word and for your truth and for right living. Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, as I take your bread and I take your wine this morning, let your spirit inhabit me. Lord, let your spirit inhabit me. Lord, let me rise to a new level. Let me let go of the baggage of life. Lord, let me let me doing the backpacks of worry, the backpacks of just worrying about this and what the next thing. Lord, I give my worries. I give my cares. I give my problems. Lord, I give my health. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your will be done in my life. Lord, I give my life afresh to you this morning. Let this be our prayer this morning, guys. Let our lives be afresh. Lord, let my worship be a fragrance to you this morning, Lord. Lord, as I rediscover my worship this morning, Lord, as I sing your songs this morning, Lord. Lord, let me just be singing songs and singing words. But Lord, let your praise be a worship. Lord, let my praise be a fragrance to you this morning, Lord. Let my praise be something new this morning, Lord. Lord, let it be a newness in my worship. Let me be a newness in my life this week as I come before you, Lord. Lord, as I go to my work this week, Lord, let it be a newness. Let it be a freshness. Lord, you says that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. I just pray for your mercies this week, Lord, in our lives, Lord. I just pray, Lord, we might rise to a new level. Lord, I pray that we might discover our hands and our feet are your hands and your feet, and our mouths is your mouth, Lord. Lord, that we might be seeing as you see. Lord, we might hear as you hear. Lord, we might go as you went, Lord. Lord, let us be vessels of blessing this week, Lord. Lord, open our hands, open our hearts, open our minds to all that is in you. In your name, amen.